Tucson is preparing for a vote that could send a signal across the country. Tomorrow, voters will decide whether to declare Tucson the state's first so-called sanctuary city. It's a term with no concrete legal definition that has nonetheless taken on a life of its own in law enforcement and national politics. Proposition 205, the Tucson Families Free and Together Initiative, has divided the community, a community that is already a self-declared immigrant welcoming city. But as this debate has done in other cities and states across the nation, the decision to embrace the sanctuary label or not has led to disagreements over the real impact on public safety, economics, and even our humanity. And really, that's been the challenge with the sanctuary debate across the country. John Sandwig served as acting director of ICE under President Obama and says sanctuary policies are more symbolic than substantive.
Unfortunately now, sticking on the symbolic meaning, even when there are legitimate law enforcement reasons to push such a policy, it's become this referendum on where you stand writ large regarding immigration.
While some such policies may impact federal authorities' ability to operate, Sandwig says most won't have a significant impact on immigration enforcement. But it's an issue that has forced public officials to take an ideological stand, even if it doesn't mean exactly what either side believes it does.
Immigration and border security issues have now become a wedge issue that are used to divide the country. And unfortunately, I think that division is based in large part not on fact or reality.
Sandwig says he met many chiefs of police during his time with ICE and the Department of Homeland Security who had legitimate reasons to support sanctuary policies. They sought to show immigrants in their communities they could report crime without the risk of deportation, and that was a powerful tool against people who were legitimate threats. But the conversation has since changed, and Sandwig doesn't see a clear resolution ahead for Tucson or the rest of the country.
There's no way to enforce our way out of this problem, but I do think the people who are pro-enforcement kind of send a false message that there is a way to enforce our way out of the problem. It's just an issue of political will. Look, until we can get the facts out there about things like sanctuary cities, until we can get the facts out there about the limitations of immigration enforcement, about the demographics of the immigrant population, I worry that we're not going to get a bipartisan compromise that we really need.
In an attempt to separate fact from fiction and get a handle on what this vote means to Tucson, I recently sat down with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kozacik, People's Defense Initiative Executive Director Zaida Livier, and Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. And I started the conversation by asking Livier why Tucson voters should declare their city a sanctuary city.
For so many reasons, but I think that the question itself is the wrong question to ask. What we're doing with this initiative is not making merely a declaration. We are actually putting into place real, long-lasting protections that cannot just be thrown away if we get a different leadership or different police chief. What we understand in the community is that our community members continue to live in fear. Since before SB 1070, after SB 1070, and now with the current administration, what we're doing in this community is building a Tucson of the future. What we want to do is make sure that our police focus on actual public safety. The federal administration has a bloated budget. Border Patrol does not need our help, and neither does ICE. So what we want to do with this initiative, which is really it's an experiment in direct democracy, right? I always talk about myself. I'm a college dropout from here at the U of A. I myself am a currently undocumented person. I myself have had incredible loss because of the immigration system. My brother was deported. My brother was murdered. And we're just two American kids.
Councilman Kozacik, let me ask you, because the city council and the mayoral candidates are generally opposed to this initiative. I'm curious what you make of one of the things that Zaida said, which is that there's a lot of fear in the community and that this in some way would help alleviate that.
Tucson is doing it right. Since January of this year, I've been working in the Benedictine Monastery, and we've helped move over 13,000 migrants, primarily from Central America, through this community to their fosters or to their sponsors somewhere else in this country. We have concerns about not the spirit of what 205 is trying to achieve, but certainly the way it's trying to achieve it. I met with the proponents of 205 back before they began collecting signatures and offered to sit down and make some tweaks to it to make sure that it was something that that we as a governing body and we as a community, quite frankly, could live with. they were unwilling to do that. And so there are a few different pieces of it that remain that for me and frankly for the mayor and council, for the city manager, for the city attorney, Chicanos por la Casa, some of the original sanctuary people here in the city of Tucson, just find to be overly broad. Number one is the requirement that for the city of Tucson to continue joint operations with federal agencies, not simply Border Patrol and ICE, but the FBI, the BATF, DEA, that they will be required to sign a memorandum of understanding that will self-limit their own enforcement abilities within the city. None of them are going to do that. We have to preserve our ability to work with those agencies, and 205 would close that door on us. Secondly, the other major problem I have with it is the protecting detainees for certain crimes. It says that we can't ask status questions for people who are detained for sexual exploitation of children, domestic violence, aggravated domestic violence, sexual abuse, child molestation. Those are not the kinds of criminals that we want to protect in this community.
Sheriff Napier, I'm curious about the law enforcement aspect of it, because it seems like there's a bit of a balance here where you have some opponents saying that by making Tucson or any city a sanctuary city, you are allowing dangerous people on the streets and hurting public safety there. You have some supporters saying that by allowing Tucson or a city to become a sanctuary city, you are encouraging and allowing some folks to come forward and be willing to work with law enforcement, to come forward and talk to police about crimes that they are the victims of or to be a witness that they were a witness to. I'm wondering from your perspective, where do you fall on that continuum?
Well, I have the greatest respect for the intent behind 205. I think there's a lot of very well-intended, well-meaning people involved, some of which are my friends. But as Councilman Kozacek pointed out, it's an overreach. It's too far. We have a policy on the Pima County Sheriff's Department that my deputies shall not. They're prohibited from asking about immigration status of victims or witnesses of crime unless immigration status is an element of the crime they're investigating. Same applies to school grounds. The city of Tucson has similar policies. I know that the Tucson police chief is a very progressive police chief and is very interested in protecting the rights of all people in our community, as I am. I'm not interested in my deputies becoming proactive arms of federal immigration enforcement. We don't have the resources for that. Furthermore, we're not a 287G department, which would cross-certify my deputies with immigration enforcement powers. So we're not interested in that. There are about 4,000 Border Patrol agents in Pima County. I have about 500 deputies. I cannot assume their responsibilities any more than I would expect them to assume mine. So I think we need a more balanced approach. I think when the community comes together, when the activist community and law enforcement and political leaders come together, we could have found ways that we could have approached this that were less broad, less of an overreach, that still address some of these issues. And I really wish we'd gone down that path.
Saito, let me ask you a little bit about that, especially in the sense that Tucson has already declared itself an immigrant welcoming city. It seems like there's a good amount of concern about this next step. What would that do that, you know, Tucson is not already doing that could potentially sort of draw the ire of state lawmakers as well? We've seen a couple of bills potentially talked about being filed dealing with Tucson as a sanctuary city as well.
Yeah, well, for one, I have to push back on a few notes on our initiative being broad. It's actually not broad at all. Two, we are an immigrant-friendly city. Now, that is a broad term. And these are internal policies, once again, that can go away if we get a different chief of police, if we get a city council that's not so friendly to migrants. And while we are doing right by refugees, just to make clear, refugees are one thing. Undocumented residents who have been here for quite a long time are a whole different story. Secondly, our initiative was not written so that we stop collaborating with the FBI or with any of these folks. What the opposition always fails to mention is why we wrote that in. Here in Tucson, we see Border Patrol doing routine traffic enforcement constantly. There is a law and state policy that basically allows them to do that. The reason why we had to make it so broad is because that is the way that law is written. So we had to include all federal agencies. Border Patrol and ICE abuse that law and pull people over within city limits. The MOU in essence only says that we are asking them not to pull people over within the city limits, that we're asking them to not do civil immigration enforcement, and that we're not going to be working with them. We believe that they will sign.
If I may, real quick, that I have the greatest respect for many of her statements, and her sentiment most certainly is heartfelt, but there is no federal law enforcement agency that's going to sign that MOU. In fact, they would probably be prohibited by their leaderships, most certainly in Washington, D.C. The cross-certification of federal law enforcement officers with state powers has absolutely fundamentally necessary the way we do business. When we're out on fugitive strike forces and so forth, when we're doing joint operations on high-intensity drug trafficking investigations, that cross-certification is fundamentally important to the way that we address those things. One of the things we did, because I share her concerns about creating a second class of victims, we went back as many years as we could in our records and found that there wasn't any decline in the percentage of people that were identified as Hispanic people contacting my department requesting for assistance from 911 victims or witnesses of crime, that it remained constant for within a couple of percentage points of 10% for as far back as we could look. So there doesn't seem to be that chilling effect. And what's noteworthy is 87% of the time that my department calls Border Patrol, it is at the bequest of a migrant in the desert that is lost and desperate and need of rescue. So we send Borstar out there. We've worked with No More Deaths to moderate the way that we approach that. And I've been very clear in my support of water stations in the desert. So I certainly share the sentiments, but there is just no way that a federal law enforcement agency will sign that MOU.
Sahara, let me ask you one other aspect of this, which is the potential that the city could lose a decent share of state money if this initiative is approved. Is that a concern to you?
I think it's a legitimate concern because we have threats coming from the states, and we do have hyper preemption bills that are written specifically for this. Now, the devil's always in the details. This is highly nuanced stuff. Unlike the opponents of our initiative who go around waving a wand and a flag that says we're going to lose millions of dollars, that's not the way it works. First of all, SB 1487 is completely silent on citizen-led initiatives. And if you look at the history of citizen-led initiatives, for example, Prop 206, which I was the Southern Arizona director of, that we won here overwhelmingly.
The minimum wage
has
vote.
Been. That's correct. Has been sued to heaven and back, and we have withstood every challenge. So we and a lot of other attorneys and experts believe, one, even if 1487 is applicable to this, we are not breaking state law. We stand by that. We wrote this bill in a very creative way that we go around SB 1070 without infringing on it. We do not believe that we will lose any funding. As a matter of fact, the city got sued in 2017 for melting guns, something that was against the law, and they didn't lose any state shared revenue then. We believe that the law is quite gray.
Councilman Steve Kozacik, let me ask you if you're concerned about the potential of losing state money. Saida said that it's kind of a gray area, the fact that it's not a council or government pass initiative might be an issue here. Is this something that concerns you, the city losing money?
It not only concerns me, it concerns the city attorney, it concerns the city manager, it concerns everybody else on the mayor and the council. The reason we didn't lose any state shared revenues last year when the gun destruction bill was challenged under 1487 is because we rescinded the law. We took that all the way to the state Supreme Court and we lost 7-0. If this thing gets challenged under 1487, it'll go to the Supreme Court again and we'll lose 10 times out of 10 up there. So yeah, not just I, but the rest of the governing body and our city legal team is certainly concerned. It would be $135 million round numbers in state shared revenues. That's about a quarter of our budget. And not to mention the grant money, and TPD estimates that at north of $12 million annually for some very important things. The city of Tucson has not failed our immigrant community, and TPD has not failed our immigrant community.
Councilman, do you see this vote as being more than just about Tucson?
Well, it's not In reality, it's not. But one of my concerns is that people want to push back against Trump. And I've spoken to plenty of people who say this is our opportunity to poke our finger in his eye. It's not going to do that. It's not going to change 1070, and we can't change federal law through a citizen-led initiative. So I am concerned that we have lots of headline readers who will see Tucson families free and together and will say simply, of course. Why wouldn't we want Tucson families to be free and together, and not read the details about the MOUs, and not read the details about protecting child abuse detainees and sexual assault detainees, and not read the details about some of the provisions in this thing that are simply in violation of state law? I am concerned, though, that once it passes, we have several people who are just primed and ready to come after us again. In the state legislature, and it will be such a waste of resources to have to go to court yet again when the alternative would be, let's find a way to make this work and to make sure that it's not going to wind up simply in more litigation. It's going to be a waste of resources.
Sina, obviously this vote just affects Tucson, but I'm curious if you and the folks with whom you're working see this as maybe something more than that, as Councilman Kozacik said, maybe trying to poke the president in the eye a little bit.
No, here's the thing. We didn't write this and put it out there to pick on Tucson or to say that Tucson hasn't done good. And we most certainly did not write this to poke Donald Trump in the eye. We wrote this for our community. We wrote this because if you're a migrant, if you've been on the ground like myself for the past 3 years, reacting repeatedly, having families pulled over and being torn apart because they do, we wanted to build something. We wanted to, in a sea of hopelessness and fear, we wanted to create something and give this community a sense of hope and a sense of togetherness and to send a message. But that message was never meant to be to City Council. That message was never meant to be for President Trump. The message that we want to send is to our own community, to our undocumented community, that they are safe, that they are valued, that they are not dispensable.
Sheriff Napier, from a law enforcement perspective, after Tuesday's vote, regardless of which way it goes, does anything change in terms of the way that you and your deputies will approach your job and do your jobs?
Well, it doesn't apply to me or my deputies. It's a City of Tucson initiative. So honestly, I don't think it will really affect the way the City of Tucson Police Department operates from an operational standpoint. The other thing it will have no effect on whatsoever is how Border Patrol pursues undocumented people in our community. So a lot of the things that they're concerned about, and I share their concerns, I really believe they're good-hearted people, but it goes too far. And it won't ameliorate a lot of the concerns that they have, because I don't believe that the concerns are really directed at the Tucson Police Department. I'm personally arguing with Washington, D.C. and FEMA over trying to take some enforcement money and transfer that to humanitarian aid. So you have a lot of friends in this community. There's a lot going on that's really good here. And this initiative will do very, very, very little to ameliorate the base concerns that they have. Because I don't believe the base concerns that they have are really with the Tucson Police Department or perhaps even with my department, because we're at the table and a lot of these people are dear friends and colleagues and people that we interact with all the time. And when all the dust settles, this is our home. And I think we can do better here.
That's Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. I was also joined by Tucson City Councilman Steve Kozacik and Saida Olivier, Director with People's Defense Initiative. Tucson voters will be deciding the sanctuary city issue tomorrow, but my next guest says that vote will reverberate far beyond this election day and likely far beyond Tucson. Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, where she specializes in international politics and refugee and immigration politics. And Elise, when you look at this referendum, is the vote really just about Tucson, or is it about something more than that?
I definitely see this as something broader than Tucson. I see this really playing into the national politics where the Trump administration has targeted certain areas, particularly more liberal-leaning cities and jurisdictions, saying that they are hotbeds of crime or they're somehow endangering public safety. So I think we can see this playing into the Trump crackdown on unauthorized migration, perhaps trying to send a signal that Tucson is not going to be cooperating with his overall approach. And I think we can anticipate a very national response as well, if it is a yes vote, that Republicans across the country, or even Trump himself, may end up sort of targeting on this as an example of liberals or Democrats endangering national security.
If this were to pass, would you expect a similar national response from Democrats as well?
I think that we've, in general, seen Democrats and liberals focusing on the sanctuary city issue as a chance to drive home their message about supporting diversity and multiculturalism, standing up for human rights, protecting communities, not wanting to have families separated or ripped apart. That's the kind of language we tend to see Democrats and liberals using at this point.
It kind of sounds like what you're saying is also that this vote is not even necessarily just about sanctuary policies. It maybe deals with immigration more broadly.
Absolutely. I think we can see immigration has become a focal point for the Democrats and Republicans to try and communicate some of their broader policy values and moral frameworks. So Republicans will tend to focus on sanctuary jurisdictions, even though that's not a legal term, but a political rhetoric term, as being anti-police or anti-law enforcement. And liberals and Democrats will tend to emphasize, again, human rights and preserving human dignity. And those really align with more conservative versus more liberal moral frameworks of how they talk about what their ideologies stand for.
I guess I have to ask about the timing of this, as it comes about a year before the next presidential election. Do you see what happens in this vote as a harbinger in any way for what to expect in 2020?
Yeah, I think this absolutely is crucial to Trump's 2020 campaign. He has really focused on immigration as one of his main platform issues. So that's why I do think we might see, if the vote goes through as a yes, a lot of Republican rallying around this as an example of why there needs to be a tougher federal, you know, sort of nationwide enforcement. If it's a no vote, we might not see as much attention to it than if it's a yes vote. I think we could even anticipate Republicans putting this in the spotlight as, you know, they could be culpable or liable for any future crimes committed by unauthorized migrants.
I'm wondering where you think this debate falls sort of in the realm of federalism that we hear a lot about in terms of states' rights, federal overreach, that kind of thing, because to an extent, this also comes under that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This is a really fascinating case where we see the tensions between the state and local jurisdictions versus the federal government. I think the fascinating thing with the states' rights principle is that we see inconsistency, whereas Republicans and conservatives used to be really emphasizing this is important always to have states' rights. On this particular issue, we kind of see a flip, and we see, well, if it's something like enforcing immigration law, then states need to allow the federal government to come in and actually have more power.
I wonder if recent history kind of helps that along, because, of course, when Arizona passed its SB 1070 law and other states sort of followed suit to some degree, the argument among critics was, no, the immigration is a federal issue. States cannot be passing their own immigration laws because this is something that the federal government has jurisdiction over. And now it seems some of those same critics of that are unhappy with the federal government requiring, for example, cities to work with ICE and other federal immigration authorities.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We do see this kind of flipping around because, once again, it appears to be less about the principle and more about partisan polarization. So a really fascinating thing that aligns with this is currently the Trump administration is also encouraging states to actively prosecute and punish undocumented migrants for identity theft. And this is another arena that traditionally the federal government would focus on. But on this issue, because it aligns with the Trump administration's policy ideology about cracking down on unauthorized migration, we do see the administration is even submitting briefs to the courts supporting states like Kansas that are trying to say, we want to have states' rights to enforce identity fraud when people apply for work if they're unauthorized migrants.
That's Elise Cohn, an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Elise, thanks a lot.
Great to be with you.